Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Zach Drew. There has been an absolutely enormous update in regards to the merging of man and machine this week. And I think that as we even read these articles, a lot of people will think to themselves, they'd like to read them, like I do. These are very, they're fascinating in the sense of in the sense of sci-fi. But it's like, I often think, you know, it's like, we don't understand how democratized this technology is going to be. I mean, it's like, whenever the first iPhone was released, no one would have ever had any idea how the entire human race was going to change. We all have a smartphone. We're all looking at it. You know, it's like, it's almost like if you go back to even like 2009 we're witnessing the creation of Bitcoin, how this thing, this new digital decentralized currency was going to change the world. And I believe that way more is going to be happening on that front in the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to even change more. These massive movements. You know, I'm reminded of like, you know, watching these videos from 30 years ago, like on Channel 5 News, of the host trying to explain to the audience how to search the World Wide Web, how to search the internet. You know, and I don't want to downplay the absolute significance that Neuralink, Elon Musk's BCI company, brain to computer interface company, just successfully implanted their very first chip into the brain of a human being. And they are seeing results already. And I think this is a 2009 Bitcoin moment. I think this is a, and I'm looking at Josh over here and he's shaking his head. And it's huge. It's enormous. And I want to talk about this, about man and our longing to be like God. There is a quote from a book called More Than Human by Michael Shermer, and it says this: one of Google's directors of engineering, Ray Kurzweil, believes that the law of accelerating returns, which holds not just that change is accelerating, but also that the rate of change is accelerating, meaning that when we reach 2040 to 2050, we will achieve what he calls the singularity, in which the world will change more in a year than in all pre-singularity history. When that happens, humans will achieve immortality. He's not alone in his techno-utopianism. Kurzweil, his bosses at Google, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, started the biotech company Calico to develop the science and technology to expand the human lifespan beyond the current maximum of about 120 years. Hedge fund manager and PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, he created breakout labs in order to fund scientists and startups that are working on achieving immortality. And he invested millions into the anti-aging Methuselah Foundation, founded by Aubrey de Grey, a biomedical gerontologist who treats aging as an engineering problem to be solved at the cellular level by reprogramming the anatomy, physiology, and genetics of cells so that they stop aging. He's on record asserting that the first human to live 1,000 years is alive today. Once again, that is Michael Shermer from his book, More Than Human. I believe and understand this, that eternity is built into the hearts of men. Ecclesiastes 3 says that God has set eternity into the hearts of men. You see, we can understand a lot with our brains that God has given us, but these concepts that are almost supernatural, totally supernatural concepts that our brain cannot even wrap itself around, of eternal beings, of existing forever with no end. He places those in our hearts. And these men, we're going to be talking about them today. These men, they're projecting, if you will, what is really the confusion that they feel in their own hearts and their own minds. There is something in their hearts that torments their minds. They are unable to reconcile the two. Their hearts, they know, they understand, they feel that they are eternal, but their brains are telling them that there is no God. There is no more after this. They are going to die and cease to exist. There's this conflict in these men that have profited from gaining the whole world. They long for eternal life while rejecting the one who freely gives it. Rejecting Jesus, the mediator between God and man. Matthew 16, 26 says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" Jesus is basically saying there is nothing. If you literally had everything in the world, it wouldn't even begin to compare to forfeiting your soul. And these men have done that. These men have gained the whole world at the expense of their soul. Now, I understand, and you do too, while there is breath in their lungs and their heart keeps beating, they have an opportunity to repent and to call on Jesus' name. But listen to this. That's eternity. There's also oneness. And I'm leading into Elon Musk. There is also a built-in programming, I believe, into the DNA of man that longs to become one with God. Not just to walk the earth in complete separation from God, but to become one with him, to become one with something much greater than ourselves. These men whose hearts are far from God, well, they're creating a synthetic version of that as well. To merge with something of super intelligence, of God-like, little g, God-like intelligence. What will our species become if current trends continue? And they can't continue forever because God will interrupt it. I can tell you that. But I don't know when. I don't know if the timetable, neither do you. What will our species become if current trends continue? Really, I mean, you've got to ask yourself that question. If the current trends just simply continue at the pace that they are, without even reaching singularity, what will that mean for us? It's a type of cyborg? And personally, I have no interest in becoming a cyborg. Let's get into this article. Breaking news this week. First human Neuralink implant a success. Musk says, initial results promising. Elon Musk on Monday announced that the first human patient has received a brain implant from his startup, Neuralink, which, according to Musk, enables control of your phone or computer and through them almost any device just by thinking. Imagine if Stephen Hawking could communicate faster than a speed typist or an auctioneer. That is the goal. The Neuralink brain implant, called telepathy, was designed to help people with traumatic brain injuries operate electronic devices only using their thoughts. It uses ultra-fine threads to help transmit signals. In May, the company received FDA approval to conduct human trials in a study which uses a robot to surgically place a brain-computer interface, which is a BCI, implant, in an area of the brain that controls our ability to move. The company announced late last year that it was recruiting patients with quadriplegia caused by cervical spinal cord injury, or ALS. Musk said that the initial results of the implant showed promising neuron spike detection. And just a side note, last June, Neuralink was valued at around $5 billion. Now, these things have been recorded and prophesied to happen thousands of years ago in the Holy Bible. And let me tell you what this means. It means that Jesus may be coming sooner than you think. The embedding of super tech within the body. If you've watched my show these last 5-6 years, you understand the importance of what is defined as the fourth industrial revolution, which we are in right now. It started, you could say it really started about 7 or 8 years ago. And one of the key characteristics of this fourth industrial revolution is technology becoming embedded within the human body. The human race becoming one with the internet, so to speak. And Google wants it. Elon Musk wants it. Facebook wants it. Other companies like Kernel and a list of others want it. And just to make this point, that if you hide under a rock, and if you dig a hole in the sand and place your head in there, it's still coming. It is coming. And here's some articles to illustrate that. Google inside your head. Brain implants on way to revolutionize AI for humans. The end of school. AI Google brain implants to replace education and supercharge IQ. Zuckerberg. Facebook is building a machine to read your thoughts. Elon Musk says he wired up a monkey's brain to play video games. That's the same chip that's now been implanted into a human being. Neuralink, how the human brain will download directly from a computer. Cybin announces FDA investigational new drug authorization of Cybin's sponsored feasibility study using kernel flow technology. Now, that one is kind of like, well, which, you know, of these four animals, which one doesn't belong? That article kind of would be like, you know, the water, you know, a whale with, you know, three, you know, animals, birds or something, whatever, just the analogy's sake. It doesn't quite fit, but it does in some regard, because Kernel is a BCI company, and they're also researching, you know, this whole concept of immortality and you know, a $1 billion company. But what's interesting about this, and we can't go into it today, but I believe that there actually will be a merger in the future of technology and spirituality through the intersection of psychedelics. I believe that. It's like, well, that's way out there. Well, you know, just write it down that I said it. Because I have been saying that, and right here we have, and Cybin is psilocybin, all right? So I should have said that. Cybin is psilocybin, which is a psychedelic. And so they're literally dosing patients with psychedelics and filtering it through a BCI. Like, I mean, it's crazy. So but let's keep going. So where does this all start? Through rose-colored glasses every time. And Elon has made that abundantly clear. And Elon Musk is quite the conundrum in the conservative community, because he buys things like Twitter, and now, you know, now it's X, and allows people to speak freely. He's quite the, I wouldn't call him a conservative, but absolutely a libertarian. He doesn't represent all of my conservative values, but he absolutely does not represent the modern liberal socialist mentality. So it's like, you know, is he for us or is he against us? I don't know. He's the richest man in the world. But I will say this. I believe that conservatives put way too much stock in this man. And I think that they're going to be upset as things progress over this next decade. The stated purpose of Neuralink, their short-term goals, according to Elon Musk, are very rose-colored. They sound wonderful. Like, Zach, how can you be against quadriplegics gaining access and functionality to their bodies again? Like, who are you? If you are saying that, you just don't understand where this is going. And you don't understand, where this is going based off of their words, of what is coming. This isn't just like things that I've made up. The short-term goals are to treat various brain disorders. It's wonderful. Yes, it is. It is. Such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Then to move from there to help amputees and restore the ability to see, talk, and listen. Neuralink promises to give sight to blind people. That deaf people will once again hear. The lame will once again walk. Those oppressed from schizophrenia, seizures, autism, or any other brain disorders will be healed. Healed. In whose name, ultimately? They are trying to create, truly, I'm not against the advances in the medical world. I'm just, you need to be wary of where this will be heading. And where does this end? Elon Musk has made it abundantly clear in a dozen videos that his overall ambition is to achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence, which means you, as a man or a woman, becoming one with artificial intelligence. And why is he doing this? I'll tell you why. So even though, like, I don't agree with Elon Musk where he is taking this, I understand his convictions. I do. There's this singular question about AI that, where does it lead? It's kind of like the Wild West right now with no regulation. But many of these tech oligarchs, these men in the AI community, they say just go for it, just create it. We'll figure it out as we go. And Elon says, no, you've got to regulate it now or it's going to kill us. And they believe it is actually an existential threat. AI could kill all of mankind. And that's why Elon Musk is doing this. He believes that the answer is not to be looking at AI in the eye, but to rather it be embedded within us. That is how we can fight what's coming. I wrote here, and I've said before, that you never have to guess where Elon stands on an issue. He'll tell you forthright, even when he isn't supposed to, even whenever it defies his board and tanks his stock. He's really one of the few that have actually warned us about the future of AI. He tried for many years to stop the development of unregulated AI because of the potential danger he thought it would do to mankind. But regulation hasn't been in place, hasn't happened. And by the time that it is, it will be too late. That is why he thinks it would be better to have AI within us rather than compete with AI and it goes sour. And like I said, I think his solution is wrong as well. I don't think we should become, you know, symbiotic with AI, but he knows AI will one day reach singularity and that godlike intelligence, an IQ of 10,000 plus. And on that day, he thinks it would be better to have it within our bodies than, like I said, staring at us. In other words, the way to ensure mankind's survival is to merge with artificial intelligence. You know, some comments from the web that I appreciated, it said, don't be fooled, they want a hive mind. If you don't know what hive mind is, we don't have time to get into it, you need to research it. They want a hive mind, a collective consciousness of sorts. And for you to be controlled from the cloud and AI. Another user said, quote, initial users will be those who have lost their minds. I think you mean lost their mind, or excuse me, initial users will be those who have lost use of their limbs. I think you mean who have lost their minds. And what happens when your phone and internet are hardwired to your brain and Neuralink chip gets hacked? Well, what would happen with that? I'm reminded of an article from way back when that talked about Brian Johnson, who founded the brain microchip company Kernel, once again, who was working with psilocybin, the psychedelic. And, you know, he talked about how people will be able to buy new memories. What? And way more terrifying, to delete unwanted ones in the near future, as experts believe they are close to biohacking the body's most powerful tool. If they can successfully delete memories, there is nothing more powerful than that. Think what you could do with that. We will have sufficiently robust set of tools for the brain that we could pose any question we want, to have perfect memory, to delete my memories, to increase my rate of learning, to have brain-to-brain communication. Imagine a scenario where I want to know what it's like to be a cowboy in the American West in the 1800s, and someone creates that experience mentally, and boom, I got it. It's like the Matrix. I know Kung Fu. I'm able to take that and purchase that from that person and experience that. Democratized, like smartphones. That's a line right there. And that's what I was trying to explain at the beginning of the show. Like, think about the first you know, the first iPhone coming out, the first smartphone. And he believes that this technology will be democratized like the smartphone. I believe that's true. I really do. Another online user said concerning Elon Musk. And like I said, he's a conundrum. I pray that if he got saved, it would solve a fantastic amount of the issues that are going to be coming our way with Elon Musk. Setting up thousands of low orbiting satellites through SpaceX to beam 5G, 6G, 7G radiation down on every inch of the planet? Check. Hook your brain up to the cloud with Neuralink? Check. Building electric cars that they'll be able to control and shut off remotely if your social credit score isn't up to snuff through Tesla? Check. Fill in a devious agenda for the boring company here? Check. All aside from that, he's heck of a guy. Global brain enabled by Neuralink and Starlink. And that's another issue. I'm at 21 minutes. I got to hurry this up. If all of mankind has a chip, and that's what's coming, they'll be connected through low Earth orbiting satellites. We'll be able to connect to the cloud. Mankind will achieve this hive mind of consciousness. How low Earth orbiting satellite technology can connect the unconnected. So LEO satellites, I'm going to try to kind of rush through this, are said to be the technology to revolutionize the internet. With more than a third of the world, okay, more than about 2.5 billion people or more still offline, this satellite constellation can help connect the unconnected and bridge the digital device that's leaving remote and rural communities behind. The European Union spending 6 billion euros right now. So, and understand this, I've said this before. 10 years ago, there was around 800 to 1,100 active satellites. In just the last few years, Elon Musk has launched 5,289 as of January last month of 2024. So for like the existence of satellites, right, 800 to 1,100. And just in the last few years, we now have an additional 5,289 thanks to Starlink, which is, you know, Elon Musk's other company. And he has applied and been approved for licenses to fly a total of 40,000 LEO satellites. It's creating a spider web across the Earth. And also, you have Amazon through Project, however you say it, Kuiper, to launch more than 3,000 satellites. And there's other companies. They are creating a web where we're going to be absolutely and totally connected. You know, when what's the last chapter of this technology that no one will be able to buy or sell without it? In the end, it will be better to die than to have taken it. And it's the clear aspect of this is the mark of the beast. Now, I want you to know, this person that just took the chip, did they just take the mark of the beast? No, I don't think so. And if you have the opportunity, like right now, it would not be the mark of the beast, because let me tell you this. If you take the mark of the beast, you are eternally damned. Like there is no backing out. You are eternally damned if you take the mark, right? And so it's not going to be a scenario where you have to question whether or not you're taking the mark. It's not like people are going to accidentally take the mark. Okay, it's going to be totally and completely clear. God is not going to mess with your eternal salvation by you accidentally doing something you're not supposed to, right? Like that's the most ridiculous thing that someone could say. And so some people are saying like, oh, you know, some people are initially saying that the vaccine, which you know that I am against the jab, I've done tons of shows on it, that it was the mark of the beast. That's so ridiculous. That is unbelievably insane. Like there is something wrong with you to actually believe that it is, without question, the mark of the beast. So like, I have so many Christian friends that truly do love the Lord, that do not know a lick, unfortunately, about what's happening in the world and how the Bible talks about those very things, that they're a part of, you know, just, I love God, I go there, and they're going to heaven, they're wonderful people, but because of their ignorance, they took the mark of the, they took the vaccine. They didn't take the mark of the beast, people. That's not it. Same with Neuralink, right? And you know, I believe that the final chapter of this technology is the mark of the beast, but it isn't right now. But that's the clear aspect of all of this. He causes all, both small and rich, are both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except for one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You know, there are far too many technology kings that rule the world that honest to God believe spirituality, the spirit world, and technological augmentation have a divine intersection in our future. And they are connected. And I do too. I believe that they are, but it's demonic. It is. It's totally demonic. And I don't have time to get into it all, but so I'm going to skip down to what I mean through the scriptures. These are all signs of the times, which means that there is a great delusion coming. A singular lie that is so powerful, so believable, seemingly so tangible, accompanied by such signs, which are supernatural abilities displayed that even defy physics, natural laws, or this world, and wonders, or wonder, awe, something unfamiliar or inexplicable, wonders that cannot be explained. That is the delusion that is coming. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." So Paul is talking about the day of the Lord and when Jesus Christ gathers the elect to him, right? "We ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it's from us, as though the day of the Lord had come," because people were thinking that the day of the Lord had come. Like, then they're freaking out. And Paul's like, "Hey, hold your horses, okay? Let no one deceive you by any means." And then he lets them know how they can, like, take security, like that hasn't happened. He says, "For the day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So, like, don't be scared that Jesus has come back, because first, the man of sin will be revealed, which is the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist he's talking about, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Skip down to verse 9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie." It's a singular lie. And that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I believe the merging with technology, becoming one with it, will play in this great delusion, from virtual reality, augmented reality, then oneness reality, coming to the realization that becoming one with technology will make us like little gods, walking the earth, cyborgs, part human, part machine. It's all prophetic. It's like another rehashing of Genesis 6. It is so vitally important that you're in your word. You know, it's so important that you understand the news of the day, but you won't understand truly what's happening until you read the word of God and you can plug those in and understand, wow, now I have a complete understanding of what's really happening. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. We're totally out of time for the day. I want to thank Anthony. I gave the plea last week that we are struggling financially, and that where we were incredibly down last year, and we've had to make major changes in the ministry. And I'm asking everybody that you would become a monthly recurring partner. And I want to thank Anthony for doing that last week with your monthly gift of $20. I want to ask everyone that's watching right now to go to ZachDrewShow.com, click that bright orange monthly donate button, or the bright orange donate button. And once you're there, I'm asking that whenever you give, that you check that box that says set up automated giving, so that we can know for sure that we can count on you each month. That's what we're asking everybody to do. It would help tremendously. Get involved, stand with us. We need your help right now, and we'll see you next week.